Government Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. I'll be with you for at least the next hour. Before we really get into the heart of tonight's show, I have a small public service announcement for the listeners out there who, by chance, did not get the correct email address for Winfrey, who was one of my guests on the show last night. Everyone is insisting that I misspelled Win's name, so I am going to improve upon my diction and spell it out very slowly for you so you can see that I do have the correct spelling for Win's name. Win, of course, is spelled W-Y, that's the letter right before Z, N-N-F-R-E-E, okay? And the actual email address to get a free PDF copy, this is an electronic copy of his book, Questions and Answers with the Council of Elohim. To get that book, you email Win at Winfree, which I already spelled, at yahoo.com. Winfree at yahoo.com. And I apologize for anyone that thought I said W-I, because when you say W-I quickly, many people, with the internet being the way it is, may misinterpret that for W-I. Anyway, if you order that book, which is free, from Winfree, you are home free, and you are a winner with an I. So we'll leave it at that. The news, what's going on in the news? Well, Barack Obama, our new savior for the United States, is traveling around the world visiting Afghanistan and Iraq. And here we have someone who is not only qualified to run for the presidency or to hold the office, but now he is also running around the world telling us how many more soldiers we need in Iraq or in Afghanistan. I find it highly peculiar, to say the least. And that said, I'd like to give a quick shout out to a few new listeners, Marie in Chicago, Renee, and I really don't know where Renee is, but Renee was kind enough to send me an email pointing out the Winfree dilemma. So I thank Renee. She's a regular listener to the show. And Bill and Fred in California as well. And, of course, if I haven't mentioned your name, keep listening to the show. I'll get around to it. We could spend hours talking about all the people that send me emails. So with that, I want to bring on tonight's guest. He has been on Evident Footprints a number of times. It's always very exciting, entertaining, revealing, informative. He himself is a talk show host. He has a show called The American Awakening and a website called it's called AmericanAwakening.org. And his show is heard Monday through Friday at RBN, RepublicBroadcasting.org. I encourage you to listen to that show when you can. It's very interesting. In fact, he had a very good guest today and talked about a topic that's right in line with much of my research. And we're going to bring him on right now. His name is Michael Herzog. Michael, welcome to Evident Footprints yet again.
Well, thank you very much for having me back again. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, Don. I find it fascinating with your intro there. You're very eloquent in spelling Winfree. But also, you know, Barack Obama flying around the world and giving advice on how many troops we need in Afghanistan. That's amazing. Especially when we're losing over there, you know. the Taliban and the warlords are regrouping, in case you haven't noticed, and I don't know where they're going to get these troops from, but you know, if they're thinking about pulling them out of Iraq and putting them over there, there's two different war fronts. There's two different battle zones. Iraq is urban warfare. Afghanistan is desert. So you have to regroup and train all over again. So it should be interesting to see what Obama comes up with, should he be elected.
Well, dare I say this, we have a third front, and that's right here in the United States. But
I'm sorry for leaving that one out, yes, but... the war on for our mind and our soul, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. I presume that in Afghanistan, the soldiers are busy guarding the poppy fields. That might be part of the problem.
Well, the poppy fields and plus the pipeline that hasn't quite got any oil pumping through. But, you know, the serious problem going on in actuality is that, you know, for those, I'm sure your listeners are very awake, but for those listeners out there who are a little skeptical or are new listeners, you know, the war drums beating on Iran and the fact that, you know, they may have a nuclear weapon within a few years or maybe next year, according to the Zionist Likud party, that has nothing to do with the real reason why we're in Afghanistan and Iraq. It has to do with the oil pipelines, and sadly enough that the game is pretty much over, and George Bush and company has lost because they're not squeezing any oil out of the pipelines, and the pipelines are all being contracted to go through Russia and China. So the checkmate, the game is over, checkmate, George Bush loses, and it's curious to see where he goes from here.
Yes, I'm inclined to agree with you. Then we've got the financial scandals going on. There is more being written as we speak. You can well remember, I even said this on some of your shows well over a year ago, that many of our banks were destined to go down, and you of course didn't disagree, but now we're starting to see this happen. They're starting to drop like flies.
Wachovia, I believe, is the next one on the chopping block, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it Citibank, Citigroup? I'm not sure. I don't mean to laugh, but, you know, when you realized it like I did a couple years ago and you no longer participate in their system and you already know what's going on, then you can sit back with a little bit of amusement just to watch the cards unfold the way you predicted they would, you know. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, the IndyMac Bank in Pasadena, California, was the first one. It was a lesser name in terms of the public consciousness, but it was one of the banks that dealt the most in mortgages, you see. So
I left that one out because in my prior life as a loan officer, which ended a couple of years ago, IndyMac was one of my prime lenders that I used to do a lot of refinances for. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say it would be something for the rest of the country to not pay that much attention to, of course, unless someone had done business with them. But it would make the federal government sort of look like a hero as they move to federalize and centralize these smaller banks, gradually sucking up the other ones with a vacuum cleaner as they go along. Now, I find it ironic in a sense, because if you remember when I was reporting on Wantagate, the second bank to come into the picture after Bank of America, which is targeted, I understand, I'm informed that Bank of America, if they have their way, will become the new central bank. And Wachovia was the second bank that was a recipient of the stolen funds in the Wantagate settlement. We're talking about $4.5 trillion at that moment. And I am the individual, for my listeners out there that don't know this, that has coined the phrase Wachovia or Wachovia. And I was honored by Christopher Story in a number of his articles when he actually put that in parentheses after naming the bank. So I think you're going to see Wachovia, probably New York Bank of Mellon, and maybe maybe some of the brokerage firms coming down next.
Well, now let me interject something here, Don, that is just a bit, and for those who are watching, like myself, now, I still get insurance renewals from my former life of 18 years in the insurance business, and interestingly enough, there's a major insurance company that I receive a check from on a periodic basis, a renewal check, and I went to a Walmart last week to cash this check, and interestingly enough, this check is drawn on none other than Mellon Bank out of New York. Hmm. And I walked into a Walmart, and Walmart has this system, I don't remember the name of it, it's like check something or another. They run it through a system, and if there's any problems with it, you know, if the customer has written bad checks or if they, you know, had problems with their bank account and been overdrawn, then it'll kick it out. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, I went in with this check, and they kicked it out. They wouldn't cash it. And they said, well, this little receipt pops up and said, well, you have to call this 800 number to find out why. Because the cashier there, the teller, she couldn't tell me anything. So I called the 800 number, and they took all my information, and they told me it had nothing to do with me, that I had done nothing. It was with them that they had the problem. So I walked away. They never did tell me exactly what it was, but I walked away scratching my head, thinking, okay, you know, it was an internal thing with the bank and the insurance company. So I never got to the bottom. The only thing I could do was assume that it has something to do with what's going on here with the banks failing. Isn't that
well? If those accounts are insured, then it's very likely that the holding company, which is the insurance company in effect, is having a problem making payouts on bad checks. So
well. Don, as you know, these banks, for example, IndyMac, FDIC insured, and the FDIC came in. They pulled 25 retired guys out of the FDIC to come in because they knew this was coming. They did this 4 or 5 months ago. But the FDIC, there was basically a run on the bank on IndyMac last week, and they were threatening people with arrest if they got out of line, you know, because people were getting very upset standing outside the door. They were letting 5 people in at a time. Interestingly enough, the FDIC, for those of your listeners who do not know this, yes, they'll insure a loan up to $100,000, but in their fine print, they tell you that they have up to, and I believe it's 30 years, to pay it off. Did you know that?
That's
so I'm
amazing.
Not saying these people didn't get their money. I'm saying that they can use that as a backdoor option if they wish to.
Sure. Do you recall January of 2007 when Captain Eric Mays Ghost Troopers came out with an urgent emergency type of report about a false flag event that may occur in January of that year at the Texas City refineries, Texas City, Texas? You know, it fits into the pattern of New York.
Yes, I vaguely recall that, yes.
Yeah, and I had talked about that, I think, on your show a little bit, because I had discerned that they may be planning something a bit later, and so that put a red flag up. But at the time Eric May came out with this story, FEMA had been going around to some of the banks, and the stories were pretty prolific, that they had gone to the banks in California and told them that no one was to make any sort of major withdrawal from their accounts, and that I think there was a ceiling on how much money they could take out, and they were forbidden access to their safety deposit boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it interesting that the first bank to go down is IndyMac in California, in Pasadena? So this had already been orchestrated and worked out how they were going to do this. And you know, we're just putting the word out there to let them know and let the listeners know that this is no accident. These things are planned.
Well, I've been stressing for a long time, Don, if people have, you know, CDs, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, 401ks, IRAs, or whatever, to get it out and get it into some sort of, gold or silver or something of that nature. And I'm talking about that you can hold in your hand, not just a paper contract. because this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know that, and I know that. But there are a lot of listeners out there, and I have, and I know you do as well. They tune in. They've been listening for a while. They're a little bit skeptical, but they're addicted because they want to hear what's going on so they can compare it with what they hear mainstream. But the truth of the matter is that, as a matter of fact, I've got a report right here. There was a secret meeting, and I'm sure you know this, that took place in March of this year with Congress, and they were warned. What was said at that meeting was that the United States economy was going to collapse. All of Congress knows this. Was going to collapse late 2008, which is this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've had a couple of secret meetings. A second secret meeting was to declare John McCain eligible to run as president, as if they're agreeing with my research that hadn't been published yet. So, find that kind of interesting.
So they're agreeing that John, it's okay for John McCain to run. Well, you know, dare we even go here? Because, you know, and I was thinking about this earlier, is that once you have awakened, as we have, and you realize that 95, probably better than 95% of everything you learned in school was a lie, you start questioning everything that any of them say, and you start realizing that nothing any of them say is true, which leads you down the rabbit hole of who are these people, and why do they do what they do? And, you know, you're an excellent researcher, and some of the things that, you know, you've brought to my attention just astound me as far as where they get these people, who they are, or, you know, even better yet, who they are not, but who they pretend to be. And
mm-hmm.
I thought about something, Don. As I was laying here this evening, I thought, you know, isn't it interesting? Let's just suppose for a moment, and I don't want to go too far on this, but let's just suppose for a moment that there is a big secret. We're all born into this world ignorant. I don't want to say stupid, but I want to say ignorant. And we learn as we go. Some of us go through life. We get a job. We get a family. We support it. We retire, and we, you know, ultimately pass on. But would it be interesting that there is a deep, dark secret that only a few of us are entitled to know? And those few are the special people that are either of a bloodline that goes back God knows how far, or that are indoctrinated and tested over time through organizations such as Masonry.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a select few that are indoctrinated into this particular system. For example, Arnold Schwarzenegger supposedly came from nothing, built himself a multi-million, you know, $100 million empire, and now he's accepted into this group. And the secrets are not known to any but those few. The rest of us go through our lives getting our finances sucked out of us by design and being set up to fail, just like what's happening with this banking debacle right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. We only have an hour on the show, and I don't want to get off on a tangent because I know there's a lot of topics you want to discuss, but the point I wanted to bring forth is I'm realizing now, or I have realized, that this is not just a dream. This is reality. It is mainstream, dumbed-down America that is the illusion. We live in reality. They live in an illusion. And it's very important for people, new listeners such as you have coming on all the time, to continue to listen and do their own research, because when they do, they'll realize and they'll wake up to this nightmare in which we live, that nothing is as it seems.
Well, I agree. In fact, we do recommend that as frequently as I can remember to do that. You know, we tell our listeners, listen to what we say and find out for yourself if it's true. No one is required to believe what we're talking about. And when you do a little bit of research, you won't have to believe. You will know, and there's a big difference between the two. You know, this.
Isn't it funny that that small faction of people who wind up knowing the secret are then the illuminated ones, or the Illuminati?
Hmm? Yes.
You know that interesting name that people say, "Oh, yeah, that's just you're wearing a tinfoil hat." That those people don't exist. Oh, yes,
mm-hmm.
they do. Okay. Well, anyway, that's enough of my rant on that issue. So.
Well, we have this dream that we're taught about in school, the American dream, and we're also taught that anyone can become President of the United States. I think we should expand that to anyone can become Governor of California. And that would cover basically any political
situation. The reason
it's
the American dream, as the late George Carlin would say, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, in light of all of this stuff that's going on, and we can look at all of this as a tragedy, or we can look at it as an opportunity that's unfolding right before our eyes. We don't have to buy into the fear that this is intended to create. We don't have to buy into the propaganda and the disinformation. We've been doing that our whole lives. It's about time we wake up. Once somebody wakes up, they can see that there's a need, if that's the correct word, to come up with a solution. And much like on your show, on this show, we also intend to offer solutions. And we go into these topics to point out the problem and explain how it has come about, how it's been orchestrated and scripted out, and that it's always the same players behind this. One dies, they have somebody in line to take their place. And it doesn't matter if it's big business or government or religion, they always have someone prepared to take their place and keep the agenda going. Right now, their biggest fear, and I say their fear, not ours, is that we are awakening and that we're figuring out what's been going on. And the faster we awaken, the more they have to ramp up what they're doing. But it's going to fail. That's my heartfelt feeling, and my discernment tells me that they are doomed to fail.
Well, in regard to the foreign policy issue with what's been happening with the occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan, they indeed have failed. The entire operation was designed to secure the oil fields in Iraq. This is the same reason the war drums are beating in Iran, to do the same thing, to rout that country, to gain control of their oil fields, to set up a pipeline, if you will, through the Caspian Basin, and it has all failed. They underestimated their adversary. And now Iran and Russia have signed a contract for this oil, along with China. And the United States, if you'll notice, and I don't know whether you've run across this, but there was a special meeting that was held over this past weekend. And for the first time, remember how the United States government has been saying, George Bush has been saying all along that he does not want to talk to Iran. Well, interestingly enough, after this agreement was consummated, now all of a sudden George Bush sends his envoy over there to talk with the Iranians regarding their supposed uranium enrichment. And reading the mainstream media, that's what it's all about. But, of course, anybody that knows what's really going on knows that that's just a shell, just a cover. That has nothing to do with it. But for the first time in how many years, the United States actually sent people over there to talk to the Iranians. Now, they did that because their tail is between their legs and they're backed into a corner. They have no place to go.
Yeah, me thinks there might be some kind of financial bargaining going on, because the financial corruption is still very prevalent. And they could try to entice them into being part of this game that they've been playing for the past 60 years.
Well, that's true, but these so-called access of evil, i.e. Iran, Venezuela, they're not buying into it. They're not buying into this whole, world government agenda, and this is part of the problem. But now they have, since they have entered into these contracts with Russia and China, now they've got a real problem on their hands, the United States does, and Britain, and Israel, because the game's not being played the way they want it played. But mm-hmm. Now they're backed into a corner, because Russia has parked their fighters over in Armenia, and they're waiting for the first trigger to go off, the first shot fired at Iran, and Russia is going to retaliate. and this is why they blinked. Now they run over there with a with an envoy to try to negotiate with the Iranians, which they have never done before, which tells me they're on the losing end, or they would never do that, Don.
You know, an interesting fact that or observation that comes to mind is that in this time period, and really we could go back, 10, maybe 20 years, the planet has never on a whole been really focused on what is behind all of these wars. We've gone back hundreds of years, actually, in the history of this country, and we can see how these wars were orchestrated and contrived to make a lot of money for a few people. And it's going on, and literally day by day, more is being exposed. And so the reasons for the current wars that are going on are being discounted. They're being debunked. And therefore, we have learned to follow the money, and in general, you can determine who's behind all of this. It's always the same banks. It's always the same dictators, in the case of England, it's the crown, and people are now learning because of new research that's coming out that the British crown, the British royalty, are actually from Germany. And when you get into the study of the secret societies and you see how they're all interwoven together, you can't keep a secret when there are that many belonging to the secret societies. The word's going to leak out. And in general, the consciousness of the planet is changing. While they're busy dumbing down the masses, the handful of people that do research and study these issues with devotion are enough to raise the consciousness of even the dumbed-down public to an extent. And you're seeing more people awaken, and this game has to end. The only thing they can do is destroy the planet, but in the process, they're going to destroy themselves. And they do have some weaknesses. And if you want to get into that aspect of who these people are and what their weaknesses are, I would be happy to go into that area, too.
Well, I'm all ears. Enlighten me.
Well, you mentioned the bloodline, okay? And if the listening audience would consider the fact that if we say to you, of course you can research this for yourself, but if we save you the trouble and let you know that no one becomes the president of the United States or the leader of any country unless someone behind the scenes has approved that act, okay? And there's a purpose behind the individual who is in the seat of the presidency. We tend to think that it's the highest, the most honored position in the country, and by rights it should be. But when you have an individual and a puppet government, then you must begin to question who is pulling the strings. Who are these people? And they are constantly referring on their own, it's themselves that refer to their bloodline. So when we point out this issue of bloodline, you have to ask the question, well, who is in the bloodline? How is the bloodline created? And from what point did the bloodline begin? And so you would have to take into consideration all the things that we're taught in school that are myth. The word myth seems to be an interesting choice of words. In other words, whatever the reality is was cloaked in under the umbrella of mythology, that it was not to be trusted or not to be believed because the people were primitive. Now, how could you have individuals like Homer or Plato or Socrates writing these fantastic works that they require us to read even today beyond the year 2000, in limited numbers, by the way, because when you're dumbing people down, you don't want to disseminate that sort of wisdom. But there are clues as to what life was on this planet thousands and thousands of years ago. And when you're discovering, when the anthropologists and archaeologists are discovering the remains of beings, humanoids that were here 50 million years ago or 100 million years ago, stop a minute and think about what's being said. If that's true, then our history goes back 50 or 100 million years. Not just to the time of Jesus, or not just to the time that the pyramids were built.
You know, it's interesting, and let me interject real quick, because I had a gentleman on my show today. We were talking about Freemasonry. His name is Tim Watson. And I had perused through his website, and I ran across an article he wrote 2 years ago, actually, June of 2006. And on that topic that you're speaking of, in accordance with this article that he wrote, and you're speaking about the Anunnaki or the Nephilim, the giants, if you will. But according to this article, and I wanted to touch with you on this to see, get your take on it, according to this, that the lower entities from the fourth dimension, aliens, if you will, 306,000 years ago, when we were still Neanderthals, they actually took the Neanderthal race to another planet. And that planet, and I'm looking in here to see what it was called, but they burned out 10 strands of our DNA, according to this article, and they created hominid reptilian hybrids. They enslaved us by burning off the first 10 factors of our DNA by using light waves created by higher light frequency here on Earth, and the time of their return is approaching. According to the Mayans, it's the year 2012. They've been here for 5 times and are returning in 3 mother ships, each carrying approximately 12,000 souls. What's your take on that?
Well, I agree with the premise that the human body was designed with 12 double helixes, or strands of DNA, and that basically 10 of those are switched off. Now, this can be done chemically. In fact, they do this in our water and our food, as well as in vaccines and medicine. They do it with electromagnetic frequencies. They do it with all types of manipulation. So, and it can even be done with thought forms. So, there's validity in that. Now, I don't know if I would say that they took them off planet, because they certainly could do the same thing here on planet, and they could take them underground. There are thousands of years of history of underground inhabitants. And in more recent times, the Native Americans talked about it. They're even talking about it today. People are describing underground.
At the beginning of the program, Don, when I had mentioned, imagine, if you will, for a moment, there's a big secret in this world that we can be born, go through our entire life, and never know that secret, because this entire life is an illusion that they propagandize with all us with all the way through school, all the way through our working lives, and you are never privy to that secret unless you're indoctrinated in to a Masonic lodge, and you work your way up through the ranks, and you are acceptable to be put into that position, you see? And that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, right? Well, there were a few, even in the Masonic organizations, that achieve the knowledge of that secret. But let us just say that, we're talking about alien races that have inhabited the Earth. Now, in their thinking, they're doing the right thing, that they have ownership of this this realm, and that they can, through the manipulation and the deception and the secrecy of what they do, they can, that gives them the right to enslave us and live off of this planet like they have off of other planets from which they have been ejected or which they have destroyed. And so you're seeing a replay, if you will, of a scenario that has occurred on probably thousands of other planets, if not more. And those of us who talk about this are ridiculed, for what reason are we ridiculed? Is that the easiest way to deal with someone that's bringing the truth forward? You know, attack the messenger. Don't even pay attention to the message. Just attack the messenger, because
right. But do that so they can comfortably stay in their box, Don.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we know why the people do that, but they're also exhibiting the fact that they're under this spell that's been cast upon them through all of the various types of control.
Right, it's conditioning. Sure.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Now, you know, there's a very interesting website that I would recommend anybody take a look at. It's called OpenSETI.org. OpenSETI.org. Now, you have SETI.org or SETI.com. OpenSETI.org actually talks about this very thing. And it's a rather refreshing and very, there's a lot of detail. It's surgical in its method of dispelling myths and rumors and just considering what may or may not be true. The work of Zechariah Sitchin is focusing on the concept of the Anunnaki. For me, for my experience and my conscious relevance to that topic, some of what he says has a ring of the Vatican to it. You know, it's got this dark side, and although it's very interesting research, it's very thorough research, and there's a lot of truth in it, it's put out there for the intention of getting us to focus on certain issues. This thing about Planet X, it's interesting that they name the planet and they give it the cursive symbol for Satan, which is the X. And you see this in other places. You see this in naming Christmas Xmas, which is really has nothing to do with Christianity. It has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. And we're actually turning what would or could be a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. It's being turned into a satanic type of event, worshiping the sun god. And so Sitchin's work is bordering on promoting some of the hidden Vatican agendas. It's just my feeling, and that's a very controversial topic, and it could take up numerous shows dissecting what he's published. But nevertheless, it's also very interesting research, because he's the first person to really tackle that issue and stay devoted to that one topic. But then you have to ask yourself why, because it goes in lots of directions. In fact, it's something that we have to deal with today. There are many questions he will not answer when he's a guest on certain talk shows, because he would rather you buy his books. And I can't blame him for that, but a question is a question, and if you're taking calls from the listeners, by all means, try to answer the question. And you may sell a book, you know, for being nice, but nevertheless, you know, it's these works, these literary works, are often used as propaganda tools as well. And when that feeling comes up that there's something not right, you know, my recommendation to folks is, you know, do some research, look into it, and see. Often I learn things from the listeners that email me or phone in and make a comment. As you well know, you learn those things as well. And not to mention what I learned from
I just learned just a mind-blowing piece of information today. We were on the topic of some of these dictators that are set up, for example, Saddam Hussein, Manuel Noriega, and so forth. And I learned today that George H.W. Bush and Manuel Noriega were partners in a business venture involving drugs. But also, did you know that George H.W. Bush and Saddam Hussein were partners in major financial ventures that involved BCCI? Were you aware of that?
Well, yeah, I think that had everything to do with how Hussein originally came to power.
Well, pardon my naivety, but I didn't know that one. I just found that out today, and I really, you know, with all the research I've done over the past few years, that one escaped me. So,
Out there. Well, yeah, that's a. Well, you know, what did they do? They arrested him and they brought him to the United States. Now, do you think he's actually in a jail cell or?
Manuel Noriega?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I know that probably a big part of the reason why they, kept Saddam Hussein away from everybody, shuffled him through a trial and hung him real quick, is so, you know, they didn't want to get him close enough to anybody to let any of the truth out.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy the character they showed us on TV.
I don't, because the teeth were different. Saddam Hussein had perfect teeth, and this guy's teeth were jagged, so it wasn't the same guy. Now, maybe he's off on an island somewhere. I don't know.
But at any rate,
we don't know. We don't know one thousandth of what goes on behind the scenes. The only thing that we do know, Don, is nothing happens by accident. It is all done by design. And that being said, just take a look at our two choices for candidates for president. You've got this eloquent black man who, is out for change, and then you have a guy that looks like he's a puppet on a string. That I'm not thoroughly convinced he's not wearing a set of diapers. and over the years, if you've noticed how they have taken, I mean, go through, you know, the John F. Kennedy all the way up to the present. Does it seem to you like our presidents are continually getting, you know, what it looks like mainstream is dumber and dumber and dumber? I mean, I have never in my history of fogging a mirror on this planet, I have never seen anybody that on the surface, when he gets up in front of or behind a podium and speaks to people, I've never seen a president that seems to be as insecure with himself as his speech patterns are that of somebody that's in the early stages of dementia. He is not even a good liar. I mean, at least I can say that some of these guys along the line, Richard Nixon, for example, was a good liar. Bill Clinton was a good liar. George Bush isn't even a good liar.
I think the dumbed down capacity to actually handle affairs is reciprocal to their ability to be corrupt. What you're seeing, you know.
Well, but the other factor that you have to weigh in is that the American people have to have been dumbed down, you know, the No Child Left Behind Act. I mean, the gradual dumbing down in the school system, Charlotte Iserby is a professional at talking about the semantics behind that, but, you know, when you can put a guy up there like George Bush or the possibility of a John McCain and have, you know, the American people accept that, what does that say about the mentality of Americans?
Not a whole lot.
But then on the flip side of the coin, which is a curiosity, you've got Barack Obama, who is, you know, very well-spoken, very, very eloquent. Now, I don't have a TV, as you know, but I mean, you know, I've seen him early on in a couple of speeches, and he is very charismatic. I'm not saying he's truthful, but he is charismatic. I'll give him that. But the question is, what's going on behind the scenes? Because this entire thing, this debacle of you know, seizing the oil, taking, you know, invading countries and seizing their oil, this goes back to the Carter administration, and guess who was in the thick of it back then? Zbigniew Brzezinski. And guess who Barack Obama's handler is right now?
Brzezinski, and of course Kissinger. And you think it was a coincidence that Obama, who they say, and I underscore that, who they say was born in Hawaii, which qualifies him to be president, ended up going to Columbia University, where Brzezinski taught. Isn't that a coincidence?
Well, there's another weird anomaly that you just uncovered for me. See, I learn something new every day, and I've learned two things new today. One was the business ventures with George H.W. and Saddam Hussein, and the other one was that. So there you go. Put another feather in your cap, my friend. He went to Columbia University, where Zbigniew Brzezinski taught.
Yes. So he was targeted, actually, he was targeted long before that. In fact, when my piece eventually comes out in the Idaho Observer, and it's the part of the Three Stooges Go to Washington dealing with Barack Obama, I will demonstrate how his grandmother is really the family heirloom to his path, his current path. In other words, her banking connections and the role she played and is still playing in this whole thing has everything to do with why Barack Obama is running. But, I'll save the surprises for when the article comes out. But
I was going to say, don't let the cat out of the bag.
It's replete with new facts, let's put it that way.
And so, the bottom line is that look at our choices, Don. We have now, early on, and I watched a few of the original debates, the only man on either side of the aisle, and I'm talking about when all of the candidates were there, that was qualified to be president, that knew what was going on both domestically and on foreign shores, was Ron Paul. He was the only guy. He was the only one. And they have manipulated this situation. For any of the listening audience, any American out there who believes that they actually have a choice, when I watched the Republican debates, and I saw John McCain get up there when it was his turn to speak, he looked like a puppet. They would not address Ron Paul because they didn't know how to handle Ron Paul. He was right on top of the issues. He was talking about the economy. He was talking about inflation. He was talking about the Federal Reserve. They did not want to hear that because he was right on top of what the real truth is.
Well, and all the other candidates attacked Ron Paul every time he spoke. Out of turn, Rudy Giuliani was the perfect example, probably because he had that subconscious fear that he might bring up his involvement in 9/11. So,
what does that tell you? I mean, if that in itself does not show the American people the power of their manipulation in putting the candidates that they want, which they own both of them. So we're given a false choice, a false illusion, and we vote for nothing less than more of the same, which is by design. So both parties are controlled. And there was an interesting comment made to me. It was an article by Carl Schwartz that he's very dissatisfied with, very disgusted with the 9/11 truth movement, as am I. And the reason is because that they have taken that issue and they have put it into a partisan thing where they believe that the Democrats are going to save them. Well, people must realize that there is no Republican-Democrat faction. They're all one and the same. They both sides of the aisle dance to the same masters. So it doesn't make any difference who you vote for. You're going to get more of the same.
And then we have the outcome that regardless of who you vote for, they're going to fix the count with the machines.
They already know who's going to win the presidency. You know, George Green, I had him on my show here, last month before last, and, he was the guy that they had asked to be the Secretary of the Treasury, and this is like 2 years before Jimmy Carter was elected. And he was a Republican, and, they told him at that time, this was a meeting with the elites, and they told him at the time that Jimmy Carter was going to be the next president of the United States. He didn't even know who Jimmy Carter was, nor did he know how they could, tell him that he was going to be the next president, but sure enough, Jimmy Carter was the next president, and this has happened throughout every presidency. They already know before, they already know who's going to win or if there's even going to be an election. they already know because they've planned it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they own the voting machines. They're all rigged. We know that. We saw that in the primaries. You know, there's no rhyme or reason. There's no excuse to be given for how it was that people coming in, you know, Barack Obama was so many percentage points behind Hillary Clinton going into, I believe it was New Hampshire, and Hillary Clinton wound up winning. Does that make any sense? Or in Florida, or in, you know, several other states. It made no sense unless you know what's going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Now, keeping, not to digress from this topic, because this is interesting, and we could, you know, we could run with this for quite a while, as you well know, and the listening audience knows, let's go back to who's behind the scenes. Who are the culprits behind this? Ultimately, who are the decision makers? Well, we've alluded to this issue of the bloodline. And the bloodline is important because of the DNA makeup. And why is gold so important? Why has it been made the metal of choice on this planet? And a lot of it has to do with its ability to be converted into a food substance known as white gold or monatomic gold, the white powder version, going through a chemical process of being heated to a certain temperature for a specific amount of time, produces white gold, which is a food source.
Yes, right. And, let me back up a minute. White gold, isn't that the white gold is the powder that, when ingested, expands the consciousness. Is that correct?
Well, yes. We're speaking about monatomic gold, so those that have gold, white gold jewelry, don't get it confused.
No. I'm just saying that this is ingested into the body. Right. Okay. Go ahead.
Yes, they used to give this to the pharaohs, and it, of course, it's a product that's available. People can buy this on the internet, although you have to be careful who you buy it from, because there are plenty of people out there trying to sell a lesser quality product. But a little bit of research, you can find.
But there's also side effects to it, right?
Oh, yeah, there may be. I think it's going to depend upon the history of the individual and their general disposition, their capacity.
And forgive me, I've done limited research on this, but it seems to me like this is a product that, when ingested into the system, it expands the consciousness, it activates the pineal gland.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay, so, yeah, all right, go ahead, continue. I'll just listen, because, you know, it's a fascinating subject to me.
Yeah, well, someone who is not, let's say if it's a regular human being that takes this, if they're not ready to have their consciousness open, it can be a pretty traumatic event. It can unleash their kundalini or their life force to an extent where they open up and just get downloaded with so much information that that they could go insane or have a nervous breakdown and begin hallucinating.
Right, right, a human being, but...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, now, in the case of this bloodline, you're talking about a group, I would guess that they have AB negative blood. This came to me in a dream some time ago, and in fact, it's one of the rarer blood forms of all the blood types, In the human being. We have O and we have A. Of course, we have Rh factors of plus or minus. And you have problems with conception when you have the wrong blood types. There can be disastrous results in trying to have a baby because of the incompatibilities of some of these Rh factors and along with certain blood types. The O blood type, O positive, is considered to be the most common, and the rarest is the AB. Well, I would venture to guess that many of the diseases we have, and as well as the blood types, have actually been engineered through various types of breeding experiments over thousands and thousands of years, until they produce their bloodline, in other words, is literally a specific blood type. But the bloodline can also refer to the species. And that would be reptilian. And then you have the gray aliens, who are their hybrid worker bees, if you want to call them that. I see them much like bees or ants, to tell you the truth. And they're of a hive mind. They've been created to have a hive mind. So they may have thinking abilities, but they're programmed abilities. And devoid of a soul, devoid of spirit. So they have no feelings whatsoever, no morals, no scruples about what they do to a human being. We've heard stories, anyone who's read and done a modicum of research on the grays, that they're very smelly, that they absorb food through their skin. So their digestive process is quite a bit different from anyone else. Well, what do you expect from a hybrid machine type being that's been programmed? And they particularly like human flesh and human liquids that are rubbed on the skin and absorbed through the skin. Now, what makes them stink is that they also eliminate through the skin. So, I mean, they got you coming and going as far as that's concerned. I'd hate to be around one of them just for that reason alone. How do their bodies know whether they're on intake or...
Please don't even go there, Don.
You know, so, you know, you've got these anomalies. Now, this has been written by many, many researchers, well-known in ufology, the Branton books, and he wrote on a number of issues, The Secrets of the Mojave Desert, where he talked about some of the clandestine Air Force bases and the underground bases and the presence of reptilians and gray aliens. And they're in space as well. They're flying many of the craft. Well, you know, if they stage a scenario to get mankind in general across the planet to panic over a staged attack, We should consider that they're already here. They're the shadow government. They're the ones behind the scenes that are pulling the strings. And they've
We're not talking about the grays here, because the grays are the worker bees. We're talking about the reptilian species.
Yes, of course, we're talking about the reptilians. And there's another aspect of the reptilian population, which are draconians, which are the winged reptilians. Now, anyone who has studied ufology and these phenomenon of alien life that were written about in mythology, that were written about and seen in hieroglyphics in Egypt and other parts of the world, do you think it's an accident that they have pyramids placed dissecting the earth evenly, by location, and also at the same time aligning with certain constellations in space? It's
You're
no
asking
accident.
Me, and they're also aligned with the pyramids on Mars. You're asking me, do I think it's an accident? I mean, with what I know now, and by virtue of the fact that I've tossed out everything they've told me is a lie, that, you know, I have a tendency to believe more than not that David Icke is right. He's got it pretty dead on. That there is indeed a reptilian race that is living here, you know, not to be shown, I mean, not out in public, but, you know, under the ground, living in a cave, somewhere, okay? But they are controlling, I believe, a lot of our leaders, or maybe all of our leaders, you know.
Yes, that's what I was leading up to. And, in fact, many of them are reptilian, okay? We have this phenomenon called... shape-shifting, and it's captured on film, and it's quite interesting to see this on videos. YouTube's got a bevy of these posted. Now, the reaction to the average dumbed-down, asleep individual is going to be, oh, they're using some kind of special effects on that. We're talking about straight from a satellite receiver into a VCR, and the guy posts it to YouTube. He may edit the beginning and the ending so that he's just showing the portion of the show where that's going on. But I don't know of much let's say, cinematographic equipment outside of Steven Spielberg and George Lucas's facilities and a handful of others that specialize in these types of graphics for a YouTube video. And to see the shape-shifting going on and to listen to the conversation between directors, floor directors and producers, and the talk show hosts themselves. Channel 11 in Los Angeles, Fox 11, is a perfect example. All you have to do is put Fox 11 shapeshifters, and you'll see some of these videos. They'll blow your mind. Now, you can attack the messenger. In other words, you can attack the person that put these videos out. But people have come forward, people in the mind control programs, people in the sex slave programs, have talked about the same phenomenon occurring. Let's say, for example, while George H.W. Bush is raping Bryce Taylor, he turns into a shapeshifter. Kathy O'Brien has relayed the same information. And David Icke writes about this, but they're not the only ones coming forward with these stories. And these are captured on film, which can be slowed down, sped up, adjusted time-wise so that our eyes can see what the camera can see all the time. A lot of this has to do with what has been blocked off from our consciousness and our perceptions. And this enables us to use these methods as a sort of crutch to perceive these things.
What we're speaking about here, and let's make this clear, is that these particular beings are fourth-dimensional beings. They're lower fourth dimension, which they're basically evil beings. But they're not of our dimension, and there's a difference in time and space by virtue of the fact that they can come in and out of our dimension, and they have a controlling mechanism on the third dimension, just like we have control over, you know, the second-dimensional beings in our arena, such as, you know, plants or cats, or, you know, they don't have the same element of time and space as we do. They will see a ball, a sphere. They will see it as two-dimensional. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plants are two-dimensional. But so we see these two-dimensional things. We have a different perspective from a two-dimensional thing to a three-dimensional thing, and henceforth, a fourth-dimensional being has a different perspective of us. They're one step above us.
Yes.
You see what I'm getting at here?
So they have more
of a means of control on us because we're not there. We're not in their realm. They can come, they can appear, they can disappear, and we have no control of that, whereas we do have control of second-dimensional entities.
Well, yeah, with some exceptions now. You take someone who's discerning, someone who is psychic, someone who is telepathic, clairaudient, clairvoyant, or a bevy of other metaphysical gifts, and can exercise those gifts. Speaking of the pineal gland, that is the focal point at through which we operate on that level. Now,
I know that there's, you know, there's an exception to the rule there. There are some exceptions, but most human beings do not know, they have not exercised, they do not know how to operate their pineal gland to the level.
Oh, yes, I agree. I agree with that. Now, okay. What I wanted to point out is that it's an issue of frequency. And when you're talking about the fourth dimension, or any dimension, really, there's an interesting characteristic in each dimension. If you look at the first dimension, which on this planet would be the center of the Earth, it's the consciousness of the Earth. It's what keeps the Earth together. And then you have the second dimension, which are the elementals. And the elementals were put in the Earth and intended to stay in the Earth. And when we take oil out of the ground, or we take gold out of the ground, or anything that we mine or remove from the earth, at the same time we're removing elementals. And those elementals, if it's brought out into the third dimension, are in a place where they were not intended to be. And so you have all kinds of anomalous manifestations that occur. Now, if you go into the fourth dimension, like the second dimension, or the sixth dimension, or the eighth dimension, the even-numbered dimensions are structural, and the odd-number dimensions are spiritual in nature. First dimension, third dimension is intended to be a spiritual domain, even though it's physical. But you see, you have physical manifestation in the first and the second dimensions. So it's merely repeated. In fact, every dimension has a physical manifestation. The difference is the level of consciousness, the level of tuning into the complete vibration on any level. You follow me?
So I'm following you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Anunnaki coming from a structural fourth dimension should raise the question, why are they trapped in a structured existence? Is it because they are not spiritual beings? Is it because they can be intellectual without having a heart, without having emotions, without having morals, without having sympathy or empathy for what they do? And their actions are just that. In fact, they remain secretive because all we have to do is awaken to our higher gifts, and we will immediately figure out the illusion. That is what they are trying to keep secret. That's the biggest secret. We know
they're
here.
Well, that's what they're trying to keep secret until the time is right. When the time is right and they feel that they've won, that they've got total control, then that curtain will come down and we will be able to see it for what it is.
Yeah, well, I think what's happening is we're going to see it before they have complete control. And they're going to fail.
Right, and this is what we're shooting for, is to do that. But what they're shooting for is to have total control before they rip their mask off and say, yep, they're right, those guys weren't wearing tinfoil hats on their head, here we are. But we own your butt now.
Mm-hmm.
Right, no, so right now they have to, you know, exist and maintain their illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Right, now, I'm right on the same page. Okay.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is that the thing they fear the most, besides that, is having to face God himself or Jesus Christ. Anything representative of authority in heaven is a complete threat to their existence, and they know that because they also align themselves with the energy, the nature of Satan himself, or Lucifer, if you want to refer to him with his angelic heavenly name. But nonetheless, when Satan or Lucifer was cast out of heaven, he was given domain, he was given the earth, which he spat upon as his domain, and he made it his mission to oppress the people here. And God always had the plan for us to rise above. That's occurring today. It's really never occurred in history before. Maybe in short little waves, you know, the founding of the United States. But immediately Satan was able to work his way into the system with his minions. How did he do it? By creating war, by creating murder, by getting people focused on the material instead of the spiritual. So that's enough of my rant, but that's it. In essence, that's the game. That's the game that's playing out right now.
Right, and the goal is for us to awaken enough people to know what the game is, because we still have a ways to go. There's not enough people that understand this. There's too many people out there that are still thinking we wear a tinfoil hat on our heads and we're crazy as a loon. But we're not. The thing is that the reason that they don't know is because they have not expanded their consciousness or stepped outside of the box enough to realize. Because they're in the box, so they can't see outside the box. Do you get me?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and I agree totally.
And I'm the perfect example of somebody who was in the box for so many years, and since I've stepped outside the box and I see it for what it is, then the sky's the limit. Because now, I'm objective to everything. I question everything. And if it doesn't make sense, I know it's not true. Nothing. If you look at what's going on with, as far as what is put forth to us via, you know, corporate mainstream television, or what their explanations for a surge, or why we occupy Iraq, or, you know, all of this stuff. None of it makes sense unless you step outside the box and you look at the big picture and see it for what it is. It's like trying to step up close. It's like you cannot see the forest for the trees. Okay, mm-hmm. You have to step back and look at the full picture in order for it to make total sense. Until mm-hmm. you do, you're never going to get it.
Now, while all this is going on overseas, you know, and we're talking about the wars, and we're talking about the drug industry and the oil companies and all of this, these corporate conglomerates, these monopolies, are making money hand over fist. Why is everything falling apart around them? Why is this nation falling apart? If they're doing so well, what is it about their doing so well that has anything to do with this country? I mean, it can't, right? There's no way that they can be acting in our best interest.
Well, as you know, Don, the infrastructure of this country is falling apart. As a matter of fact, I had lady I had on my show the other day called me up tonight and told me that she says, I can't remember the name of the company, it's American Water Company, okay? Now she says, when you say that, it sounds like, oh, that sounds pretty good, the American Water Company. Do you know who owns American Water Company? It's a German company.
Was it IG Farben?
Yes. Bayer and this UAE or AEU, I can't remember the name of the company now, but them and Bayer own, they're buying up all these water utility companies in the United States.
Yeah,
now
that
that's
sounds
pretty
like
scary.
Yeah, they're getting ready to put something in the water, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They already have put something in the water, but they're getting ready for something major. First of all, to control the water, you know, they could literally jack it up as high as a gallon of gasoline. But on the flip side of that coin, knowing what their agenda is, they plan on taking us down. They plan on using water as a weapon. They plan on using food as a weapon. You know, it would be easy to take down the population of the United States, or the world for that matter, and we wouldn't even know it. I mean, if you're an unsuspecting American and you believe your government is benevolent, you wouldn't even know it.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned Wachovia, and when Wachovia announced, when I saw their first commercial, it was during a Super Bowl game a few years ago, and I came up with this Wachovia parody that I did, and it turned out to be true. I did some research on Wachovia and found out that they had gone to a town, I think it was Dusseldorf in Germany, if I remember correctly. I may be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure it was Dusseldorf. They purchased the sewage system in Dusseldorf, and then they turned around and leased it back to the city for $1 a year. Now, what a place to launder money in a sewer. You talk about dichotomies there, or oxymorons. But this is how these banks and investment firms hide their money in offshore accounts. They pull this kind of stuff. I heard something last night on a radio show where they were talking about some of these companies buying up sewage companies in foreign countries. And I thought, you know, this has probably been going on all along. Now, what would provoke somebody to want to do that other than to just, you know, hide assets, try to legitimize their drug money or stolen assets that they've created out of thin air to begin with? But you know, there are places to hide the money that they've stolen from investors. You're going to see this more and more in the stock market. And I think very soon, I think the whole thing is going to come tumbling down. Now, in terms of that going on, the question is, what are we going to do? Are we going to keep depending on that system, or are we going to, you know, most likely the average American is going to turn to the government, you know, help us, give us food stamps, give us, you know, get us out of this. And we're going to give up all our rights in the process. as Kissinger said, you know, we will be begging them for a solution. They've created so many problems.
We've already given up most of our rights, but the problem is that they have not told the American people yet. And so when people like us try to bring it to their attention, again, they paint us like we were wearing a tinfoil hat, and they call us crazy. But all they have to do is read. This is a big part of the problem, is that the American people do not read.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were just take the initiative to go do the research for themselves, they would find out that everything we're telling them is the truth.
Well, who did we give our rights to? Did we give them up to the reptilians? Because if that's the case, then I don't think we've given up our rights, have we?
Well, no. What I'm saying is the executive orders, the Military Commissions Act, the Patriot Act, the John Warner Defense Bill, basically they have stripped us of a number of our Bill of Rights.
I understand that, but my point behind that, the shadow government pulling the strings behind that, is they're not our government, and they're doing the bidding of them. So have we really given up our rights? Technically,
well,
no.
Well, it depends. If you're looking under color of law and the enforcement thereof, you know, you can stand up and say, look, this is against the Constitution, but if you've got 10 thugs with bulletproof vests tasering you to death while they drag you off to a prison, which, as you know, this has happened in my own family, you know, where they set my stepdaughter up and had her arrested and detained her, incarcerated for a month before they deported her to Scotland, for crying out loud. Yes, you know, in accordance with what we did in the documentation we had and the money that we paid, we were within our legal rights. However, they don't play fair. They don't play under the law. They play under color of law. And this herein lies the problem, Don.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, right. And so, but the American people, majority of the American people don't believe it because they haven't experienced it firsthand. And I would say fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your perception, have experienced it firsthand more times than I want to count.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the issue is because they know that I know who they are. And once they know, they can't fool you, then they pull the gloves off because then they don't care. You see what I mean? They have nothing to lose there.
Yeah, I understand that, and I agree with what you're saying.
As long as somebody is dumbed down, they can still invoke the illusion that they're benevolent. But once they know that you know, there's no reason to try to invoke an illusion, because they know they're not going to fool you to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Which is why they're ramping everything up, because we're starting to awaken those that are still asleep.
Right. And then you look at these, you know, the people that are still dumbed down. For example, you know, I mean, we've got full-body scanners that are going into the airports all over the country. I mean, when does your dignity, you know, become important to you, where you've got some $10 an hour employee behind the counter that's watching your genitals, for crying out loud, as you go through this, you know, x-ray scanner? But it's not even that. That's not bad enough. Now they're saying that the public is screaming for more security, which we know we haven't had an incident in how long, since 2001. The public is screaming for more security, so now they're going to put a taser bracelet on us? From the time that we go into an airport to the time that we check out our bags at the destination, so they can zap us if they think we get out of line? Where does it end with these dumbed-down, mind-dumbed sheeple?
Yeah, have you heard anybody clamoring for more security?
Well, I've read the propaganda, and the mainstream propaganda is that we ask for this, the public asks for this, and get this, the airport have spent billions of dollars on increased security. That's a total lie. The airport hasn't spent anything on it. Homeland Security and the shadow government has spent the money on it. The airport hasn't spent anything. If anything,
well,
it's to the detriment. It's to the detriment of travel and the business of the airport to put this stuff in here to begin with. But yet the dumbed-down, mind-numbed American people still believe this propaganda that's put out, that we clamored for it and the airports themselves are spending the money. What nonsense.
Well, I think it's time for them to start publishing the names of the people that asked for this. Let's count them, you know, and let's talk
to
them.
I mean, Don, we've got over 1 million people now on the terrorist watch list. And we know how these people get on the watch list. They hire these idiots with a quota to put so many people a month on the watch list. They don't have to do anything wrong. They just have to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I know who Homeland Security really is. They certainly aren't Homeland Security. They were put into effect to harass us and to terrorize Americans. That's what they're there for.
Yeah, well, they had the same operation going in before World War II, as Hitler came to power. This is how they imprisoned all the people that they slaughtered.
And that's what they're doing right now. You know, the hate crimes legislation is back in the Senate again. And the B'nai B'rith and the ADL is pushing for that. You know, they want to strip us of our right to free speech. They want to start incarcerating us for our political beliefs. They want to incarcerate us if we're a tax defier. They want to incarcerate anybody who does not go along with the government's agenda of, you know, world imperialism and you know, shoving democracy, so-called democracy, down your throat at the point of a gun. If you don't believe in that and you believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of property and happiness, then you are an enemy combatant as far as they're concerned. And that's what they're pushing for, and it's almost here, Don. It's on the table right now, being looked at in the Senate.
Well, that's I remind you and the listeners that this sounds like a reptilian agenda to me. And
well, exactly. You know. You'll not get an argument out of me there, you know. But you know, maybe the best way to approach this is figure out some kind of an invention where we can expose the reptilians, just like in the movie They Live, where Roddy Piper put the glasses on and you could see him walking around. You know?
Well, there are a few ways to look at them. If you study their eyes, number one, you can spot the vertical slits. You can see some anomalies with their blinking and their eyelids. Watch the tongues. When the tongue shoots in and out of the mouth at a rapid rate, much like a lizard or a snake, I mean, these are anomalies you can see. Again,
I'll tell you, George Bush has that characteristic with the tongue.
Oh yeah, I've seen it on many talk show hosts. There's an interesting shape-shifting video on YouTube. You've got to put Brian Todd. He's a CNN broadcaster. You've got to look at it and see. Now, many of these people are also working for the CIA. They're working for the intelligence agencies to make sure that what gets disseminated is what they want to disseminate amongst the public. So, you know, the media is nothing but propaganda. But you will see that they are actually putting reptilians in front of the cameras, and these things can be seen when you videotape them and play them back. It's mind blowing, and they flash the name right up there on the screen. And I'm saying, well, here's another one. Put down alphabetical order. Do you want to put them under T or B? You know. So
we've got these reptilians, if you will, that are infiltrating, just like we've got the CIA that is infiltrating all of the major news outlets. Everything that comes out, I mean, it's no longer news anymore. Dan Rather even came out and said something about this not too long ago. It's more of a form of entertainment and distraction. It's not really news. Matter of fact, another interesting anomaly, my son was watching Fox News Night, and he told me, he says, well, there's a, and I don't know whether you've heard of this, have you heard of the Brown's Gas Hydrolyzer?
Absolutely. In fact, my regular Friday night guest, Jim Murray, used to work with Dr. Brown for 3 years.
Okay. Well, the Brown's Gas Hydrolyzer is becoming very popular here because of the rising gas prices. Well, interestingly enough, on Fox News tonight, my son came in and told me that they are blasting. They've got, you know, these little segments on the news now. They're telling the public of why this hydrolyzer doesn't work and why they shouldn't buy it.
Well, Jim Murray told me that the whole country of China has their cars outfitted with these devices.
Not only that, but from what I understand, there's a guy by the name of Stan Meyer that had invented a car 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That, matter of fact, I played a video clip on my show last week. This was on mainstream news, and I believe it was 1996. It was a clip that this guy, Stan Meyer, invented a car that ran totally on hydrogen. It was a fact. He invented it. He took the car was there. He did a demonstration of it. He had it on video. And the Pentagon was extremely interested in this vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually sent a general to talk because they were expressing interest in using it for their Star Wars space program in some capacity or another. Interestingly enough, the next thing you know, Stanley Meyer winds up dead. He was poisoned in a restaurant, died in a parking lot. And his brother says that within a week after his death, the government came in and confiscated his car, all of his records, all of his materials, and everything. Now, from what I understand, I have heard, I haven't confirmed this, but I've heard that the military is using this technology in some of their military vehicles in Iraq right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but I've also heard that this Brown's Gas hydrolyzer has been available and been used in China for over 80 years.
I don't know if it's that long, but I can tell you that Dr. Brown did work with the Chinese in China and for a period of about 7 years. This was in development there. And,
It may be a variation of the hydrolyzer, you know,
mm-hmm.
making, converting water into hydrogen, so it might not have been Brown. But from the information that I got, that this piece of equipment has been in China for over 80 years.
Well, it's quite possible. I wouldn't doubt that.
Okay, but at any rate, yes. So we've got a Brown's Gas hydrolyzer, and we've got these mainstream media outlets, propaganda, here we go again, keep the sheeple sleeping, okay? Tell them why it doesn't work, and, you know, you've heard it on mainstream TV, so it's got to be true. That's their mentality. And so they're approached with, you know, somebody trying to save them 50% of their gas, and they don't believe it. So they'd rather continue to dig in their pockets. Do you know that I went to the gas station last week, Don, and I put 24 gallons of gas in my truck, and it cost me a $100 bill?
Yeah, that's pretty much the going rate everywhere.
That's outrageous. Yeah. That's outrageous, Don. You know, I felt like just bending over and allowing them to rape me, which is exactly what they're doing. There's no rhyme, no reason, no excuse for this except for extortion of the American public, because I'll tell you that with the exception of the U.K., other places in the world, they're not charging like this. Matter of fact, you can go right over the border in Mexico and buy it for $2.40 a gallon.
Yeah, I've heard reports that Canada is somewhere around $5.50 a gallon and up, approaching
$6.
Well, yeah,
but you have to remember now, Canada's imperial gallon is 5 quarts. It's not 4. Gallon is bigger than ours.
Okay.
Okay. It's called an imperial gallon. It's 5 quarts.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you take that in consideration, then it's probably about the same. Now, I do know, you know, my wife, as you know, is in Scotland now, and a gallon of gasoline in Scotland right now is $12 a gallon.
Only?
Only.
Only.
$12 a gallon. And what's interesting about that is that Scotland is a main hub in the North Sea offshore there.
Mm-hmm.
They've got just a massive amount of drilling rigs offshore there. And they're pumping oil out and making it into gasoline like there's no tomorrow. And there's people there. There's an 18-year-old kid that lives next door to her that's out working on the oil rigs, working out there. You know how much he gets paid a day? He gets to the equivalent of $600 a day working on these oil rigs.
Wow.
That's what they pay him. Mm-hmm. 300 pounds a day, $600.
Well, we're in the wrong business.
I guess so. how do I know this? Okay, because I was fortunate enough to extricate my wife and my family out of here just before our loving Homeland Security came in and for my protection arrested my family. You know, that's what they almost did, Don. They for my protection and the rest of America's protection, they almost arrested my family. Isn't that nice of them?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to get cynical here. I mean, is this an hour show or what?
Well, we've gone over an hour, actually.
Oh, we've gone over an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But it's
okay. The listening audience won't mind, I'm sure.
I mind because I'm getting very sleepy.
Okay, well, we can sign off. I know we'll have you back again, and I'm looking forward to that time, whenever that is.
Well, I appreciate that. I was thinking it was an hour show, and I have to get up early in the morning, so I'm going to have to sign off. But it's been a very, very enlightening, very stimulating conversation, which is the wrong thing to do with me at 1:30 in the morning. but other than that, it's always fun. It's always fun coming on with you. We touched on many, many different things today. I hope your audience was able to keep up with it.
I'm sure they could, and I'm sure I'll get a lot of positive email about you being on the show and requests to have you back, so anticipate that.
Well, I'll tell you, I would love to explore this in more elaborate detail, because we've touched on a number of different issues, and, you know, frankly, this is all off the cuff, because I have no documentation in hand to be able to say, oh, yeah, well, you know, so-and-so on this date said this, and it was backed up by that, you know, which is what I do on my show. I'm just laying here in bed going, yeah. You know, I remember a couple of weeks ago I read this, but I don't know who wrote it. So I'm not really, I'm not really focused on my documentation, if you will.
Well, it's indicative of how much research you've done. I'm not reading from notes myself, and when you begin to know your topic and you have the opportunity to discuss these issues in public, you get pretty fluid with it, so you did a great job.
Yeah, well, but the problem is, as you know, with especially if you have new listeners that are just tuning in and they're hooked on it because they can't believe what they're hearing and they're skeptical. You know, I want to emphasize: do your own research, folks, because all of this stuff that Don and I are speaking about is true. I mean, I wish it weren't true. Do you not wish it weren't true, Don? Don't you wish we did have a benevolent government and they were looking out for our best interest?
Yeah, of course.
Right, but they're not. And the thing is that these people that tune in, they know. Even if they don't know, they know there's something wrong. They know they're being lied to at some level, because the actions speak louder than words. And what our government is doing, what they're saying as opposed to what they're doing, doesn't make any sense. And as Judge Judy always says, if it doesn't make any sense, it's most likely not true.
And she also says, I didn't fall off the turnip truck last week.
that's
one of her favorite lines.
All right, well, listen, I'm going to sign off, buddy, because I got to get some sleep here. But,
okay, give out your website again, if you
well,
would.
Well, it's www.theamericanawakening.org. Truth of the matter is, the server that I've been using here, it's kind of like a cell phone, and if you use over so many minutes, then they just charge you up the wazoo. And I haven't been updating my website like I should be, because it's taking me, for some reason, three times as long to upload stuff, or download, whichever way you prefer, on this particular server than normal. So I haven't kept up with it. I think the last time I posted an article was a week ago or two. But I will tell you this, in reference to reptilians, my son has a lizard that is about, from head to tail, probably about a foot long. And speaking of reptilians and reptilian DNA, I happened to look at this lizard tonight, and we snapped a picture of this. This lizard he's got a little kind of a tree limb in his cage, okay? Mm-hmm. And, Don, I have to tell you, this lizard was standing up with his legs crossed, and he had one hand, or one paw, one claw, whatever it was, on his stomach, and the other hand was propped up against this log that he has in his cage.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked exactly like a picture of somebody posing. He looked just like, I'm going to superimpose an Uncle Sam hat on him with an American flag.
It sounds like Napoleon you're describing, actually.
Exactly. That's exactly what he looks like. He looks like Napoleon, and he's smiling. We snapped a picture of it. I'll show it to you. You won't believe it. We were rolling on the floor laughing. I can't believe a lizard would do this.
Well, so send me a copy, and I'll post it on my site.
I will do that. Now, I'll do it before it's superimposed, but when you see this picture, you're just going to roll off the chair laughing. It's so funny.
It's funny already. Okay, Michael, I'm going to let you hit the rack for the night.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate you coming. I appreciate you coming on my show, Don. I appreciate coming on your show, my friend.
Airs from 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, Central Time. Republicbroadcasting.org, The American Awakening.
Very good. Thank you, Don. I appreciate it. Good night.
All right. Thank you, Michael, and to the audience. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Our guest has been Michael Herzog, and you can listen to him Monday through Friday, again, on republicbroadcasting.org, and his show is called The American Awakening. Tune in tomorrow. I will be doing the TNT Hour at 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4 Eastern, 3 Central, 2 Mountain, and I'm expecting to have Bill Cormier on as a special guest. We're going to be talking about some of the new news developments around the world, and it's a very non-mainstream kind of news show. And we talk about things that you will not hear on mainstream news, so tune in for that. Tomorrow evening, Bill Cormier will be our guest on Evident Footprints. Special thanks to Don Newsom, network founder and executive producer of Evident Footprints, as well as Seth Hendrick and our audio intern, Nicholas. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.